This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. Peter is doing a big piece on Larry Fitzgerald this Thursday night on the TV broadcast of the Cardinals and Seahawks. Also going to talk to Peter. What does he think of this Thursday night football deal? I mean, we've heard the angst. We see the quality of play on Thursday nights, that it's not good. What are some ways to solve it? To me, it seems pretty simple. Just add an extra bye. And let the teams come off a bye and have them play Thursday night football. It's not that hard. Also, Peter on his podcast this last week got into a long discussion about the future or lack thereof of Commissioner Roger Goodell. So I'm not going to spend time on Cardinals, San Francisco. What did we learn? Not even really that much on Cardinals, Seahawks. It's pretty straightforward. Cardinals need to win. That's it. Seahawks are coming off a tough loss. And whenever these two teams meet, it's always entertaining to me, even though last year's game was low scoring and was still a nail biter. So we will have Peter King with us. Espo is going to jump on board. Greg Esposito on the Suns and their trade of Eric Bledsoe to be finalized, sending him to Milwaukee. We'll talk about that in a minute. First, our headlines brought to you by the good people at Sagicor. Sagicor Now. Hey, take care of what matters most to you. Go to sagicornow.com. SagicorNow.com. Got to look at your future, your family, everything you're doing in life. Sagicor Now, we appreciate Sagicor being a big part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. Thanks to Sagicor. The Suns. Okay, so I guess, you know, when you see on the surface that the Suns are finalizing a deal, and this came from Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe over at ESPN, it came out earlier this morning that Eric Bledsoe is going to go to Milwaukee for center Greg Monroe, a first-round draft pick and a second-round draft pick. Okay. So there's no way the Suns are going to or we're going to win on this deal. Let's be first and foremost on that. I have yet to see anybody, and I put up a poll over on our Sports360AZ Twitter handle. Do you like the deal? Do you dislike the deal? Very few people that weighed in on the early goings on that said they liked it. There's no way you're going to like a deal where it's a big man who didn't start a game last season and some draft picks, because you're tired and I'm tired of hearing about draft picks. Once this whole timeline narrative took over, Ryan McDonough became bulletproof. He did. Because once Robert Sarver accepted the timeline, then the general manager of the timeline isn't going to be blown out, isn't going to be sent away. Ryan can do basically whatever Ryan wants to do right now because it's all part of the timeline. The unfortunate part of the timeline is it started, I don't know, in 2010 in May, the last time the Suns had a playoff game. So for those of you that are so excited about this deal today, if in fact it gets finalized, please understand there hasn't been a playoff game here since 2010. And for us to accept anything that the organization does at this point is just either you are on the payroll of the team, one, B, you're just flat blind to what's been going on here. Robert, when there was a story last week about Robert Sarver not selling the Suns like it was breaking news, why would Robert Sarver sell the Suns? He's a businessman. You can sit here and I can sit here and say all day long, he's got to sell. He doesn't know what he's doing. Robert's sitting over there saying, really, I don't know what I'm doing, huh? Let me count the number of ways I'm making money on this deal. That's now coming up to $2 billion, the worth of the franchise. Why would he sell that? You know, it's easy for me to sit here behind a microphone and say, you know, owning a sports franchise is a public trust. The public is trusting you to run the team, to put the best product out on the floor, to be able to put a team that we are proud of I'm watching the end of the game last night because I got tired of watching Brett Hundley get run over and thrown around by Detroit Lions and wide receivers dropping footballs last night. So I flipped over to the Suns in Brooklyn. There was nobody there. Like, swaths. I think the upper, when they're shooting free throws, the upper deck is completely empty. Not even a few giveaways to some local group to bring their, there was nobody there last night. And I just look at the brand and continue to just say, nobody's going to sit here and hold Robert's feet to the fire. The only people that can do it are the people within his own ownership group. And they're not going to do it because they are making gobs and gobs of money. So when Greg Monroe comes here and a couple of more draft picks and they get Eric Bledsoe out of here, and my stance has been all along, get Eric Bledsoe out of here 2 years ago. Eric Bledsoe has always been about Eric Bledsoe. And, for the, you know, when you see the pieces like, well, Eric, you know, Bled had his had the team over in San Diego for team bonding and team building. It's just nonsense. That's using PR to try to gain public approval to what you're doing when the end game is you are about you. Eric Bledsoe has never been about team that I've seen since he's been here. And the team decides they're going to shut him down last March. And I was fine with that. Problem is the team didn't screw up badly enough, so they could have drafted Lonzo Ball to turn this thing around and get some people excited. I've watched Josh Jackson so far. It's fine. It's like watching Marquise Chris get 16 minutes. Okay, I'm used to it. It's like watching Dragan Bender kind of meander his way through. All right. Devin Booker fouls out. They lose, you know. They've made so many moves, and they've used this timeline narrative now, Ryan has to his advantage. It's not that hard to figure out. Of course he's going to embrace the timeline. It means he's going to get more time. The timeline's Ryan McDonough. This trade is going to go over like a lead balloon, you would think. But really, it's going to go over and then be gone in the next nanosecond. Yeah, the Suns trade Eric Bledsoe. When do the Cardinals play again? Hey, is ASU going to make a bowl game? Hey, that kid with the Coyotes, he's playing pretty well. You know, Clayton Keller's got 11 goals so far this year. Maybe he is the hot young star that we should check out. This is a very, we have NASCAR this weekend. Eric Bledsoe was traded, so what? So for those diehard of diehards, and you've died hard, you put down your season ticket money and you've been watching a product that has missed the playoffs since May of 2010. And they're going to miss the playoffs again next year. We're going to hear more about the timeline. And they're going to have another lottery pick, maybe. And it's just going to keep going. And Robert's sitting over there cashing checks and just laughing about this. I can't sit here and rip Robert Sarver as a businessman. Can you? As a sports owner, it's pretty easy to do. But he is more about his business than he is being a competent sports owner. There's no other way to put it. None. I admire the hell out of him. He's making gobs of money off of people that think this is great. I've got business people here in town that have been here a long time that want him to move the team, and the NBA would give them a team here as an expansion franchise. They're hoping that Vegas and Seattle jump in because he's not going to sell. So we're stuck here watching Greg Monroe come in. So what does this mean for other players on the roster? I can go up and down on that. It really isn't going to impact. At the end of the day, they're still going to blow. They blew last night against Brooklyn. They blew the other night against San Antonio. This is what we've got. I feel bad for those really good people that work downtown. There's some really talented people that have been there a long, long time that would never in their wildest dreams imagine that this is what would be going on. And when I saw the news, it was, you know, so what? So Bledsoe goes his way. If I'm to believe Woj, and there's no reason to not believe Adrian Wojnarowski, he reported that Bledsoe met with Robert Sarver and Ryan McDonough during the preseason and requested a trade. So let's go through this. You guys decide, the Suns, to set Bledsoe down last March. You go through the whole offseason and you got a coach that you don't believe in fully. and you got a disgruntled player that you're sitting there, you truly believe is one of your better players on the team. You set him down, the player, because you're trying to lose. You can't lose enough. And so within the span of 2 weeks into the regular season, you've already fired the coach, and now you're trading away the disgruntled player. And this is the timeline. I don't know. Timeline should be in the off season. Firing coaches shouldn't happen less than a week into the regular season. Trading star players shouldn't happen 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the regular season.
Especially, Brad, when you consider what he did last year. Because I wrote up the story this morning after the trade went down. Eric Bledsoe averaged 21.3 points, 6.3 assists, and 4.8 rebounds in 66 games.
Could have got more than Greg Monroe,
I'm guessing. But let's just find a guy that has a similar salary, and you throw in a first-round pick, and we'll call it fair. Done.
So, you know, Eric, it's like my stance on this is, I may sound indifferent because hammering Robert doesn't matter. Robert's bulletproof on this deal. Robert doesn't want to sell. Robert's not going to be forced to sell. Robert's making gobs of money. So why would anybody suggest that he sell? Doesn't matter what the business is. But he's taken a public trust, which is a sporting team, and used it completely to his financial advantage.
No doubt. There's no doubt.
I mean, that's just a plain and simple call here. It's not that hard.
And with Ryan McDonagh, Brad, this really has come full circle because a lot of people, myself included, think Ryan McDonagh's trade to get Eric Bledsoe to Phoenix was one of the better moves he ever made as GM. And this is how the chapter slash story ends. Eric Bledsoe sent to the Bucks for a backup center and a future first round pick.
But do you get my point on the timeline?
I do.
I mean, do you see that as I just see it that he's, of course,
it's
he's
like gonna, it's like a free extension.
He's he's totally embracing the timeline. Why would he not embrace the timeline? It's another every 2 weeks he gets another check because he's got the timeline. You know, he's got the timeline protecting him. The sheer, to say incompetence would be disrespecting Ryan McDonagh, because I actually think he's a pretty smart guy. That's why he's embraced the timeline. He sees what's going on here. And this team is not going to get it figured out. And so you guys can gnash your teeth all day long about how Robert's got to sell, and people can ask questions. I mean, Scott Bordeaux can go write a story about, you know, he's not going to sell the team. Really? Why would he sell the team? Nobody's going to force him. The only way out of this, there's two ways out. The only way out is the other owners within his group have enough of being publicly humiliated, even though they're making gobs of money, and set him down and say, you're out. That's not going to happen from my view. It did happen with Jerry Colangelo. It did. Jeff Morad made sure that happened in the Diamondbacks locker room the day Jerry was fired. So that's one way out, is the other owners have to band together and say, we're being shamed here. We can make money in other areas. Or Robert moves the team. I mean, those are the two real options, because he has shown no propensity to get this thing figured out and turned around in a direction that you feel as though, okay, I see that they've been able to make this move. And people that just say, well, they have the timeline in place. You guys tell me, is Marquise Chris working out? No. Is Dragan Bender working out? I don't think so. You can give me moments and games. And you can tell me, look at this great dunk. I don't care about great dunks. I care about being a team player. I care about being able to work within a system. Great dunks get you 30% winning percentages, where you're 15 wins every year. Highlight films don't mean jack if you can't win games as a team. So Greg Monroe comes here. Knock him out. We're all excited. Peter King is next. We'll switch gears over to the Cardinals and much more. The Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now time to check in with Peter King. All things across the National Football League, football in general, the MMQB.com. Check it out. And Peter's podcast, the Peter King Podcast with MMQB. It is great listening week in and week out. All right, Cardinals hosting Seattle. I'll get into the game in a minute, but first, you're doing something on Fitz in the pregame show, right? Why don't you talk about that a little bit, Peter?
It's Brad, thank you. This is one of the more interesting stories I've ever done in my career, actually. I flew to Scotland in July, and I got a crew. We had an NBC crew, TV crew, with me mic'd up and Larry Fitzgerald mic'd up for 18 holes on the old course at St. Andrews. Now that was a very interesting day, to put it mildly. So I've got a story on sort of where in the world is Larry Fitzgerald. And the story essentially is, why does Larry Fitzgerald love travel so much?
Right.
And where has he been? This is the 97th country that Larry Fitzgerald has been to in his life. And it just is about his wanderlust, his love of new things, new people, new food. And just, it was a barrel of fun. So on the pregame show before Seahawks Cardinals on Thursday, this is just a plug to watch the pregame show. And I think you'll enjoy this. I think it's one of those things that you'll see how excited, first of all, Larry Fitzgerald is about golf.
Mm-hmm.
And two, how the real love, his love of travel really comes out. So it'll be a fun watch.
Yeah, and he's talked about going to space in all seriousness. Like, that's one of his goals. That's not even here on this planet. He'd like to be one of those that goes to space. I don't know if he talked to you about that in the piece, but he is all out there.
I heard that, but we didn't speak about it. But it's very, very interesting. And look, I don't put anything beyond his reach.
Sure.
I think he's an ambitious guy. And if you're around him, as you know, Brad, you feel like after you've been around him for 10 minutes, you've known him for 10 years. So he just has that ability with all people to put him at ease. I remember a few years ago, I did the Pat Tillman run in Tempe. And I actually did it with a bunch of Cardinals. I ran in the vicinity of a bunch of Cardinals that day, including with Larry, who was wheeling a handicapped person that wow. day, a big Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, by the end of that day, Larry Fitzgerald knew about 20 people well that he never met in his life. And that's just the way he is.
Peter King with us, the Monday morning quarterback. Peter, what is your view of Thursday night football when it comes to quality of football, player safety? There's a lot of angst about it. What is your view of it?
I think it probably, for the good of the game, for the long-term good of the game, I think it ought to be eliminated. But if it's eliminated, and if the players... And I think there's a lot of players who would like to see it eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
If it's eliminated or if it's changed, and I think the only way in the next CBA in 2021 that it'll be changed would be to add an extra bye week during the season and to make sure that one of those bye weeks buffets the Thursday game so that if you play on a Sunday one week and have a bye, the only time that you could play a Thursday game basically is coming off a bye.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of sentiment to that, to adding a second bye to allow that to happen. So we'll see. But as I've said, Brad, on many occasions, I understand why a lot of people don't like the Thursday night game. A lot of players don't like it. But if it does go away, just understand that the $50 million that that Amazon, for instance, puts into the kitty
mm-hmm.
For streaming rights for one season of football, that goes away too. So I just think players have to understand that if it does go away, just a little bit, not a huge amount, but just a little bit of cap money is going to go away as well.
Your podcast last week, you went in depth, and it's really a must listen on the business side of the NFL. And you and I have not talked business. Usually every week we get into what the Cardinals are going to do. I didn't take too much from Drew Stanton against C.J. Beathard. Pardon me for not getting too thrilled about what I saw in San Francisco. And the Seattle game is important. I'm not going to demean that. But your podcast went into depth about where the NFL is with everything going on around Roger Goodell this last week. And you actually got into a space where you wondered aloud about the future of Commissioner Goodell. For the sake of the audience, Peter, can you recount that a little bit? And where do you see it going with Goodell and everything going on from Papa John's pizza to Ezekiel Elliott being ruled eligible for another week to Deflategate to all the stuff? Can you just get into that?
Well, you know, I had on Don Van Natta, who had a great story with Seth Wickersham on ESPN, the magazine, basically talking about the mayhem is too strong, but sort of the discomfort among owners right now in the NFL for a number of reasons. But one, obviously, is this anthem issue, which a lot of owners are totally really unhappy about right now, because they feel like the commissioner of the NFL should be able to fix this. And right now, Roger Goodell can't seem to fix anything. He can't fix the anthem issue. He's working at it, but he can't wave a magic wand and fix it. You know, he can't fix discipline. He's always getting in fights with players. It's just, it's a never ending struggle. And so Don Van Natta and I basically think that there's a decent chance within a couple of years Roger Goodell is not going to be the commissioner. Now, I was roundly criticized by some people, not criticized, but a bunch of people in the league think I'm wrong. And I might be wrong, because Roger Goodell could sign an extension that, even though he's not going to have the same power that he did, he could sign this extension tomorrow if he wanted to. But there's just so much rancor right now, Brad, especially about a commissioner who, no matter what he seems to do, he's got organized opposition on the other side. And instead of owners, did you notice at the recent meeting, you didn't hear one single owner, not one, say, "I've got all the faith in the world in Roger Goodell, and we think he's going to be our commissioner for the next 10 years. And that, in my opinion anyway, that really was telling. Because in the past, even when owners haven't agreed with things, they have come out in strong support of Roger Goodell. Not this time.
That's really good stuff there. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks very much, Brad.
Always good to visit with Peter King there, joining us via Skype from New York City, themmqb.com. And again, you can check out his piece on Fitz in the pregame show, Cardinals Seahawks, this coming Thursday night. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Now, to continue the conversation about the Eric Bledsoe trade to Milwaukee, Espo is with us, Suns Solar Panel. All right, let's get right to it. When you first heard that this deal was coming down, your instant reaction was what?
If Malcolm Brogdon wasn't included, it was a failure for the Suns. So it's a failure for the Suns. The only real winner in this deal is Eric Bledsoe, because he leaves a place he didn't want to be. He gets to go to where he's going to be in the playoff picture. And he has a chance, if he picks things up where he's left off the last few seasons, to be a legitimate Eastern Conference contender for an All-Star spot as well.
Okay, you and I know full well that you were a big Bledsoe guy, right? I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Correct. No, okay. I still am.
And so you like how he handled all of this. You put it at the feet of the Suns. You like how Bledsoe handled all of this.
No, I don't. You know what? Both sides are at fault. Eric Bledsoe knew what he was doing when he tweeted that. Now, do I believe he was sitting in a salon with his wife? Yes, I believe that, but I also believe he knew exactly how that was going to be interpreted and what it could cause. So he's at fault for his actions there, but the Suns are at fault for the fact that they shut him down during his best season ever last year without really talking to him, and with a few months to go, just simply to tank in order to, if they had gotten a top two pick, likely replace him with a point guard.
Yep.
So I understand why he'd be frustrated and upset with the situation that he was in.
Okay. Woj reported today, along with Zach Lowe, that Bledsoe went to management back in training camp and demanded to be traded. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I would believe that and understand that. And the Suns knew what they were doing. I mean,
really, really, are you sure about that? You sure, Greg? If the Suns knew what they were doing, why is it they fired their coach and trade their best player within 3 weeks of the start of the season when all this stuff should have happened last offseason? All of it.
No, no. Look, I think they full well knew that they were going to upset him when they did this. I mean, it was just like when they dealt Marcus Morris, they full well knew it was going to upset Markieff. Now, they didn't take the right actions after that, but there's no way that this front office didn't understand that they were going to cause problems. The big issue is they haven't learned from those mistakes, whether that's Ryan McDonough or Robert Sarver. And I'm starting to believe it starts at the top, Brad, because when you look at it and you think about it, the only consistent thing in all the last 8 years and all the chaos that has happened is Robert Sarver. It's been different GMs, different head coaches, different players, and at some point, It's not all these players that are at fault here. There's something else going on. And I talked to a former player recently who said he never had any issues with Ryan McDonough, but he's an outspoken person in terms of being critical of the Suns. So it makes me think that this goes to the top and Robert Sarver, and that he's still meddling in all this.
Okay, so for full transparency's sake, you worked for Sarver.
Correct.
Right, and so you probably saw some things along the way, and I'm not going to ask you to recite it. But Greg, I think you're taking the approach here of, I could see 5 years ago that this thing was jacked up, messed up. And if you're just now starting to go on the Sarver side, brother, I'd say you might want to accelerate the timeline here. I'm not getting on your case, but geez, oh man, this thing's been going on off the rails for years. And if just now you're starting to get on the Sarver case, really, Greg?
Well, okay. Let's think about it. I'll be very frank.
Sure.
For 5 years when working for the team, you can't exactly go against the ownership who's signing your paychecks. And you're right. I saw some very bizarre things in my time with the team that made me question things. But I also saw, and this isn't a defense of Robert Sarver, but I saw a guy who I legitimately think he wants to win. He just does not understand the business of basketball and continues to make the same mistakes over and over again that have caused him issues. Now, I had more faith in Ryan McDonough being able to figure out a way to corral that and take some of this power, but it doesn't seem like that's happened. It seems like the same things have happened over and over again. And you're right. This is not all of a sudden something that just happened. This has been an issue for much longer than even Ryan McDonough's tenure here. I had just had faith that they were going to be able to figure it out more. But at some point, look, you chased off Goran Dragic, one of the best guys in the league, a very good person, hands down, and you made him upset. Eric Bledsoe, a very good person. You found a way to piss him off. At some point, the front office and ownership has tarnished the legacy of this Phoenix Suns team to a point where it may be irreparable right now.
Okay, so
I don't know how you fix it.
So Espo's with us, and you can read all of his content, Sun Solar Panel. He does podcasts. He does a lot of written content here. He also has his own platform. Why don't you plug your platform where people can find your content outside of Sports 360?
It's just sunsolarpanel.com. It's where you can find every episode of the podcast. You can also find it on Sports 360, and I do some writing there as well.
Okay, so back to this. I have to start looking at, and actually I started looking at this over the summer when I had some people within the organization who pointed out to me this whole timeline narrative. Ryan McDonough, of course, is going to embrace the timeline because it means Ryan McDonough is going to get check after check after check after check. So, of course, the timeline sounds all well and good. The big broad picture, and meaning Ryan could keep making deals, Greg, and he can fall back on the timeline thing. That's why I think this timeline thing is just pure nonsense at this point. Because the picks that he's made, you tell me 3 weeks into the season, does Markieff Chris look any better? Yeah, I'm seeing Dragan Bender out on the floor. So Ryan McDonough can go trade Eric Bledsoe for Greg Monroe and some draft picks again and say, well, we got the timeline. He's bulletproof. He's got a shield around him. That doesn't work. Does this make sense to you? Does this make sense to you? Am I wrong on this?
You are wrong because he's not bulletproof. At some point, you have to show things. And you conveniently point to Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender and forget Devin Booker and TJ Warren, two other guys that he's drafted that in the middle of the first round that have had immense success.
But are they going to want to stay in this mess? Are they going to want to stay in this mess? And you're right.
No, and that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Okay, you've always talked about, if you're Ryan McDonough, how you wanted to follow the Celtics path, right? Mm-hmm. That you wanted to collect assets and then cash in at some point. Well, you're now sitting with seven picks in next year's draft, and one of the youngest rosters in the NBA. You've got all the assets you're ever going to be able to have at one time. You have to cash in, and you have to do it sooner rather than later, because the only value a draft pick has is perceived value before you know what it really is. And we don't know what the Bucks or Miami are going to be right now, okay? And everybody assumes the Suns are going to be pretty bad. So the value of those first three first-round picks that you have now will never be higher than in the next month or two.
Okay.
So you need to figure out a target and make a move sooner rather than later.
Okay, and you and I agree on that. I would point out to you that if you and I have been talking on the air for a couple of years now. I think if you were to go back on the Ryan McDonough press conferences through all of them, he's always going to say, we're stockpiling. And then at some point it gets written or talked about, you need to cash in. This is a narrative, Greg, that has been going on both sides of ping pong around the Suns for a long period of time. It just has. This isn't anything new about the Celtics and acquiring picks. He's been acquiring picks, and nothing is really, in my view. Devin Booker's great. TJ Warren's fine. The minute they're allowed to get out of here, they're not going to stick around for this bleep show. They're not.
No, I completely agree, and you're right. This is the time. There's no more acquiring anything else. They failed in this trade with Eric Bledsoe. And another problem is, I like Ryan the person,
sure,
but Ryan the general manager has now railroaded a bunch of guys and hurt the trade value of guys who should have gotten substantial return back as well. And that's a problem. But you talk about the timeline not working. Well, at this point, it's the only option you have, because you're not landing a big name free agent after you've gone scorched earth policy against other players that have come here.
Okay.
You now can't. You're not a free agent destination anymore. So you have to find a way to trade and draft the next stars for this team. And we're getting to a point where we may never see that.
Getting to a point. I think we're way past it. One other thing before we get out of here. I would like your spin on this. So the whole idea of anybody suggesting Robert should sell the team, that's not going to happen. He's making so much money. The franchise has gone up exponentially. I think there's only two ways that Robert Sarver doesn't stick around in Phoenix. And one is the other partners. And I hear there's some of them that are starting to be embarrassed by all this, but they haven't been shamed, because they're making so much money. Robert's making them so much money. It doesn't matter if they win and play in front of family and friends last night against Brooklyn. It doesn't matter how empty the building is or how embarrassing this stretch is. It doesn't matter. That's one, is that the other owners have to step in and say, you're not fit to run the team. Which, financially, why would they do that? Because they're making gobs of money. That's one way. The other way is he moves the team. So Las Vegas and Seattle are going to be in there. I've already had some people with deep pockets in town say, if he moves the team, he leaves the name behind, we'd get another team from the NBA. The NBA's realized they made a mistake. I think both of those are reaches. I'd be curious to hear your take on this.
Well, look, if you want to sit there and kid yourself that the NBA is automatically going to award your franchise and the history and name will sit there until it happens, go ask Seattle fans how that feels, because
they don't have a building.
Seattle was no,
but they don't have a building.
We could be,
there's a building here.
We could be in a situation, but is there a building here that's going to be NBA worthy? Because
sure,
it's 25 years old. Last time I checked,
go to Glendale.
Is not. Yeah,
play in
the
Glendale.
Phoenix Suns are going to play in Glendale. You saw
why you build a new arena.
Coyotes.
Why you build a new arena?
My thing is, You're not. If the Suns were to come back in a new iteration out in Glendale, they fail. Nobody's going out there. You and I both live in the East Valley. It takes an hour at best to get out.
I'm saying in the interim, go to Glendale. You don't buy into any of this. Robert's just going to own the team and that's it.
Oh, no, I buy into that. The only way you'll get him to sell potentially is if he gets a new building, because the value is never going to be higher than with a new building. That's the one time I think you might be able to get him to sell this team, is because the value will be astronomical when they have a new building as well that's part of a sale. Right now you're selling a team with a 25-year-old building, and you're going to have to, whoever would take over would have to go through the legal hurdles to get a new building. So I think that suppresses some of the value. But I don't see Robert Sarver selling.
Neither.
I could see the threat of moving, and that's a dangerous game. Because honestly, the Sarver out billboards are all well and good. You want to protest, whatever. Yeah. It's not going to get a multi-millionaire to do anything. You don't get rich by giving into the pressures of other people.
Right.
All right?
That's right.
The only recourse Suns fans have is if a new arena comes up for a vote. And it's a very dangerous game at that point, because if you don't vote for funding for an arena, that means he goes to the nuclear option of threatening and potentially moving, and then you could wind up losing the oldest franchise in Valley history with no guarantee that you ever see the NBA back in Phoenix.
All right.
As a fan, I don't know what you do.
All right, I'm going to let you go off that. You're going to write about this?
I'm going to try to.
All right, I'll let you go. There's Espo, Greg Esposito. Espo's very passionate. I love Espo. Gets his stance out there. We don't agree on stuff, but it's fine. We've got some college football on the other side around the national scene. We've got Catholics and convicts playing this weekend, which is always fun. We'll get into that next. So tonight you have the college football playoff show, which Eric just hates. Do you even watch it?
Of course.
Because your team is
I have a reason to watch it.
So we know that Alabama will be one of them.
Yes.
And Alabama this weekend plays Mississippi State. That game's in Starkville. That's actually a game that should be pretty darn good, right? So they're in.
You would think, yeah.
Georgia is in.
Yeah. So as of today.
Right.
Which doesn't mean anything, but yeah, they're in.
But tonight, and they play Auburn this weekend.
A lot of good games this weekend.
Okay, yeah, I mean, this really is becoming a weekend. Notre Dame, Miami, Wisconsin, two of those three or the other two that are in, do you think?
Well, I would think if Notre Dame loses, they're out.
But if this weekend. I'm just talking about tonight's show.
Not Wisconsin.
I agree with you about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's not going to jump from 10th to 4th.
I mean, they
or 9th to 4th.
They don't look anything like one of the best teams in college football to me.
No.
And we also have to throw in the factor of this broadcast tonight is on ESPN. This weekend, Notre Dame plays Miami on... And so
right. You
know that ooh, there's two of the four teams that are going to – so you can throw away a show in early November and say, let's put these two in here and please our TV partners.
I really hope that that's not the case. I really do.
Am I being too cynical?
No, because I mean
– makes sense, doesn't it?
Look at 2014. TCU beats Iowa State 55-3 and somehow moves from third to sixth. Huh? What? Does that make any sense?
So Miami, you know, you look at Miami and – is Miami really that good?
I need another weekend.
Right.
I mean, what they did to Virginia Tech I thought was really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see if you can do it on back-to-back weeks. Because they, like Wisconsin, have sort of just been okay. Yes, they're undefeated. But the one thing I loved, Brad, about the committee after their first rankings last week is just because you're undefeated, at least initially, doesn't make you a top four team. Doesn't even make you a top six or top eight team.
But if Miami loses this game to Notre Dame this weekend, they're still going to play in the ACC title game against Clemson, which you would look at and say, okay, if they lose, that doesn't mean they're out, because you could still have a lot of chaos this weekend. If Washington beats Stanford Friday night, then Washington cannot be eliminated. Washington would still be in the middle of this.
There's a lot of chaos every weekend. Even when we don't think there is going to be chaos, there's chaos. That's what makes college football great. You and I could sit here and try to predict what's going to happen. Who knows? Maybe by next week, Alabama loses.
If your team beats Oklahoma, and in front of them, Notre Dame loses to Miami, can't you make the argument that TCU has played a much more difficult road, gone a difficult road than Miami?
It's not even an argument. Right. It's fact.
but because it's national television with Miami and Notre Dame, are there going to be those in the committee that say, it's like thinking Washington is not going to be penalized for Chris Peterson hating on the Pac-12 earlier this year.
And the fact that their non-conference schedule is embarrassingly
terrible.
Bad.
It was terrible. All right, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website that you can check out. Pro college, high school, college pro makes no difference to us. We are in a busy season right now on the college, high school platforms. And, of course, Peter King with us every week on the NFL. Eric Sorensen produces. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. I'm Brad Sussmat. Have a great day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.